This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. All right, our message for this session was first published in the month of May of the year 2015. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is Proverbs 14, verse number 12, and Proverbs 16, and verse number 25. And you don't really need to look up both of them, because they both say the same thing, so just looking up one of them would be enough. And the scripture says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And this is title for this message is Which Way Is Right? And this is part number 3 of a 3-part message, so this is the final part of this message series. Now, when I closed off last month's message, I was commenting on how in the instances of abortion and the homosexual lifestyle, the church in far too many instances has essentially turned its back on God by ignoring His word for the express purpose of making itself appear to be acceptable in the eyes of women and the gay community. I went on to say that as a result, tens of millions of people have died needlessly because Christians chose to compromise on God's word for the express purpose of not being seen as mean-spirited or homophobic. Make no mistake about it. This is a direct result of our compromise on God's word. We are told in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It makes no difference how the world, talking about those that don't know or care about God, views situations like abortion and the gay lifestyle. It is what God says about it that matters. and we would be wise to take that into consideration above all else. When I use the number tens of millions, while many would say that that is an overstatement, I would say it is probably higher than that because of the fact that many others have died not as a direct result of these actions, but as collateral damage, so to speak. All because God has allowed it to happen because of our actions. As you know, like when I use the term tens of millions have died, well, if you look at abortion alone, since abortion was legalized, here we are in the year 2024 and over 78 million babies have been aborted. So that's 78 million right there. That's over seven tens of millions right there. So like I'm saying, the numbers are higher than that when you add into the fact of what's happening with the AIDS community and the gay community, and you know, with AIDS in the gay community and straight community, and like I said, the other collateral consequences is gone. But anyway, let's go on a little further here. You see, in the last part of the subject verse, what the end result of our wrong-headed thinking is, it leads to death. The church is not here to go along in order to get along with the ungodly. It is here to be the barometer by which those that are living in sin can see the advantages of living for God and the disadvantage for doing the opposite. However, when the church lowers itself to the position of being just like them, then it can't distinguish, or they can't distinguish distinguished from the ungodly. And therefore, as Jesus says, it is like salt that has lost its savor or its flavor or its main characteristic. Anybody that knows what salt does or how it feels if it is rubbed on an open wound, it stings. Salt also is a preservative as well as a flavor enhancer. And it doesn't take much for one to recognize it in food. Getting back to the church, its mission is to get people to come back to God so that they can, when the time comes, transition into heaven to be with him for eternity. In order for that to happen, the individual must acknowledge their sin and repent and turn away from it and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. The word Lord, loosely translated, means a person is surrendering their life and will to another. They no longer function as they see fit, but as their Lord sees fit. When a person ignores or resists this action, then they are no longer under the lordship of that particular person. Since most of what we would call progressive churches or Christians fall into the category of tailoring their ways to make themselves acceptable to the ungodly, they are, for all intents and purposes, not the actual church, but rather a counterfeit. They have the appearance but lack the power of God by way of the Holy Spirit that Christ left us with. As a result, they have no characteristics to demonstrate to the ungodly outside of good deeds, which anyone could do, what the advantages of following Christ are. Therefore, the ungodly see no reason to abandon their lifestyle. Consider this for a moment. What if a blind or crippled person went into a church service and the power of God fell on that individual and they were instantly healed? Do you think that person might just decide to come to Christ because of what he did for them? Or how about a Christian prays for a dead person to be raised up from the dead and it happens? What do you think the ungodly would think about coming to Christ? Both of these examples are the very thing that Christ commanded his followers to do. Jesus says, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." St. John chapter 14, verse number 12. And Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 8. "And as ye go," Jesus is speaking, he says, "preach the word, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then look what he says: "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." The church has the ability to carry out all of these things only if it falls in line with the Word of God, which means abandoning carnally minded ideas and actions. Christ told the church to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The reason we don't see them is because some churches are too busy trying to make themselves look good in the eyes of the ungodly. We must remember something. Christ told his disciples, and that is, since he was persecuted in his ministry, that they would also be persecuted. In St. John chapter 15, verse number 20. Under any other instance in human relationships, it would make perfect sense that in order to maintain peace, all sides would need to seek common ground. That means setting aside differences and working on what we can agree on. And since the name of Christ is a lightning rod of disagreement on so many levels to so many people, then it is the first one to be set on the back burner. It reminds me of when Christ was brought before Pontius Pilate and put beside a murderer and a thief named Barabbas. When Pilate asked the people which one should he pardon, the people chose Barabbas.
As for Jesus, they yelled, "Crucify him." And this is the main sign to God that we reject his directions, and as such, he does not allow these churches to utilize his power. If you have ever wondered why it is that we don't see these types of things going on in most churches as we have in the past, you don't have to look any further than this. We live in a society today that, for all intents and purposes, is at war with God. We, through science, politics, legislation, and the educated elite, have proceeded to fulfill the biblical prophecy that in the last days, I'm paraphrasing, many Christians will leave following the directions of God and begin following the ways of the ungodly that will ultimately lead them to destruction. You can find that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses number 1 through 3. When you consider that the mood of the nation is, if you stand on God's word, you are the enemy. The enemy of what? The enemy of all that is decent, according to them. When you consider that the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We have taken what God hates and made it the law, and what God says, we make it out to be mean-spirited and essentially persecute all who stand on it. As I am writing this, an issue has arisen where a state, Indiana, has passed a law that essentially says Christians that own businesses that serve the public have the right to refuse to participate in any activity that goes against their religious beliefs. The LGBT community, which stands for lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender community, supported by the news media, liberal politicians, and many churches, are going around attacking and protesting in front of these businesses known to be owned by Bible-believing Christians for the express purpose of either forcing them out of business or extracting large sums of money from them through the court system. A friend of mine brought up an interesting point when it comes to persecuting Christians that stand against the gay lifestyle. While Christians stand against it, Islam also stands against it, and in many countries, these homosexuals and things like that can be put to death. Yet, you don't see any gays attacking or protesting or trying to drive Muslim business owners out of business. Why is that? Only Christianity, which shows love for them, is their target. This, my friends, is going out of the world backwards. Which one do you think they should be against? We even have churches in order to show them Christ's love, ordaining them as pastors and bishops in direct violation of the Holy Scriptures, when it says that those that hold office in the church must be sanctified and holy. The quickest way to shut your blessings off from God is to defile His church. Not only that, but they have further made a mockery of this basic foundation of society, talking about marriage by performing what they call gay marriage, and give gays the idea that God accepts and blesses this abomination. Now, where did the church get this idea from? They got it from scientists that stated there is scientific proof that the gay lifestyle is not an action of choice, which is what it really is, but rather that God made them that way. So what you're being led to believe is God has made them the way that they are, so that He can condemn them to hell for no possibility of redemption, when in reality they have chosen to be the way that they are and will not accept the fact that unless they change, they will end up in hell. On the abortion issue, once again, science butts heads with God. Science says what is growing in the womb of the woman is not human, but rather a growth likened to cancer, and the woman has the right to have it removed, just like she would have cancer cut out of her body or a pimple from her face. There is no recognition of it being human. Yet, God has plans for that baby in her womb, and interfering with those plans, like aborting the baby, is like slapping God in the face. So what we have here is an open defiance of God's plans for the child by those that support abortion. And people think God is just going to sit back and do nothing. Well, in a sense, He is going to sit back and do nothing. However, He is going to do that when trouble comes our way. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 15, it says, "When you spread out your hands in prayers, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer up many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood." Time after time, case after case, it has been proven to be foolish to go against God no matter what the situation is, yet that is what this nation is continuing to do when it listens to or tries to appease the ungodly. I want you to think about this. When a child, young person, or young adult gets killed or dies as a result of the actions of some other person, the family of the victim usually will sue, claiming the unfulfilled potential that that person had. What they are saying is that this person had the potential of being a millionaire or having some sort of great impact on society. Well, if you consider that, then you should consider the potential each of those aborted babies may have had on society had they been born. How many people have died from cancers that could still be alive today if one of those aborted babies that God had appointed to discover the cure for cancer had been allowed to be born? Think about it. What you need to understand also is this. If God has appointed an individual to be the one to discover or accomplish something, then no one else will be able to do it. As a result, until the next appointed individual comes along, the people will continue to suffer and die. The Bible says, if God opens a door, no man can close it, and if he closes the door, no man can open it. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. The short point of it all is, considering all that the Bible has to show us, the right way is to adhere to God's word so that we can be blessed. Any other way is physical and spiritual suicide. Well, that's the end of our message series, and I hope that you have been enlightened a little bit as to, when it comes down to making choices about things that we do, things that we say, things that we believe, and so forth, actions that we take and the like, that the primary thing we need to do is consider, are these things in line with or do they go against what God says? And if they go against what God says, the best thing to do is to turn away from them and go in another direction, go in the direction of the one that goes along with what God says, because you will be better off, just like the scripture, our subject scripture says. There's always a way that seems right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And this is not only death like physical death or spiritual death, but it could be the ways of loss or something like that. You know, when we use the term death, this is an open thing to say anything that makes you, winds you up, making your condition worse than what it was prior to something happening or something that you were doing, and you're in a worse condition. You lost your job, you lost your family, you lost your house, you lost this or lost that. All of that is a offshoot from death. This all means the same thing. That word death can be translated into loss as well. But all of these things, everything that happens to us happens for a reason. It's either because we have done something and God has chosen to bless us because we're following his directions, or we're going against them and we're getting cursed by them, for it. And we have to begin to understand that that is the curse, and the only way to get out from under that curse is to stop and change direction. And just like the case with this nation, at the time that I'm recording this message, in about a little over a week and a half or so, we're going to be going to the polls again to vote for another president for another 4 years. And we've got one person who basically, if you look at everything that they stand for, totally against anything that God says, pro-abortion, pro-gay rights and gay marriage and transgenders, all that other stuff. And at the same time, she calls herself a Christian, a woman of faith. Faith in what? Faith in science or something like that. It can't be faith in God, or at least not the God of the Bible. And we got so many preachers and things, especially in the black community, falling in line to support her, which means they're setting the stage for the black community to end up, as they always are, cursed. And nobody wants to say anything different, because that's just the way things are, that's the right way to go, because the black community has to stick together and so forth. And we just do some of the dumbest things and wind up back in bondage and in slavery to the same people who basically we were in bondage to for over 400 years. We got set free because of a war between basically the what you would call the Yankees and the Confederacy. The Yankees were basically those that held to the fact that all men are created equal and so forth. In other words, they were following God's direction by saying that no man should be owning another person as a slave and so forth. And it was basically headed up by Republicans. So the Republicans shed their blood and things to fight against what later became known as the Democrats, to set the black community free from slavery, won the battle. Blacks were essentially, slavery was abolished, and then here we are some 450s, 460 some years down the road, and we right back in bondage to the very same people that we were delivered from, and we call them our friends and call the ones that delivered us our enemies. You see how screwed up we are? That's what happens when you go against God. He's gonna make a fool out of you, make you a laughing stock. Well, that's all for this message. And this, in closing, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying, until we get together again for another message from the Word of God, You and yours have a blessed day. Good day.